Today I'm going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 2. Let's go right now to the church auditorium for today's message. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters, and the child Samuel grew before the Lord. Here's a great example. I think Moses is another example of this. Hannah, who was a godly woman, did not have the opportunity to raise her son Samuel. She gave him to the Lord Jesus Christ. She's put in a position where all she can do is pray and pray and pray for her boy. She goes up to the synagogue once a year, and she makes him a coat and takes him a new coat. He is growing physically. He is growing spiritually. She had given him to the Lord. She was praying for him. And even under the ungodly raising of Eli. Eli was an ungodly man. Even though he was a high priest, he was ungodly. He had ungodly sons. Even under his teaching, Samuel still became a man of God that was going to bridge Israel from being a nation under kings, a nation under judges, to a nation under kings. He was going to bridge the gap. I just say this to you, mothers, you're raising a son without a dad, or you're raising a son and he's with the other parent. You're trying to raise a son or a daughter. I would say to you, you can do that, and God can protect that child, and your child can be okay even in circumstances that you fear for them. You're afraid for them being taught or exposed to sin and different things like that, and yet God can protect them. And Samuel here is not in a good situation, but God is going to protect him. God's going to raise him up. Look at verse 22. It says, "Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto Israel, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation." So they're immoral. Verse 23 says, "And he said unto them, Why do you such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. Know, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people to transgress." Now listen, if our staff is living in sin, it says here that Eli's sons made the people of Israel to live in sin. And if as a staff we are living in sin, or we have someone living in sin, we are leading our own people into that same sin. You understand? And as a mom or a dad, if you are living in sin, you will lead your own children into sin. You and I cannot live in sin and then expect our children to live a righteous, godly life. You can't expect your child to go beyond where you are spiritually if you're living in sin. So it says here, Eli's confronting his sons. Verse 25 says, "If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearken not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them." So the dad confronted them. Dad confronted them. They wouldn't listen. You know, question is, why wouldn't they listen? I think the dad failed here. I think the dad failed. You know, Lot lost his influence with his own children, didn't he? Because of his own sin. David lost many of his sons. They did not turn out well because David had lived in sin. And I just say to you now, there's a principle involved here. Eli was unable to convince his own sons because of his own sin. And I think the principle is still true today. Verse 26, "And the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men." So even as Eli went downhill spiritually, Hophni, Phinehas went downhill spiritually, God blessed Eli. You say, why did God bless Eli? I think God had heard the prayer of Hannah. Hannah had been praying. Hannah had given him to the Lord. And Eli continued to grow spiritually. Verse 27. "Then came a man of God unto Eli." Now, we're not sure who this is.
But apparently another prophet of God comes to Eli, and he says unto him, "Thus saith the Lord, did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? Did I not appear to your people in Israel?" Verse 28, "And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest?" Eli, I picked your tribe, your family out of Israel to be the priest of Israel. Verse 29, "Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering, and honorest thy sons above me to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of my children of Israel." Watch what his sin is here. He said, "You honorest your sons above me." God is speaking to Eli. "You honor your sons above me." What happened to Eli's sons? Well, he lost them. What happened to Eli being the high priest of Israel? He died. What happened to the line of Eli after he died? The whole line of the whole family died out. They ceased to be priests in Israel. And I would say to you, listen, to be a high priest was a privilege. And to be a believer in Jesus Christ is a privilege. You want your children to get saved, and you want to see your grandchildren get saved, and your great-grandchildren get saved, and you want that to follow down through the line and down through history until Jesus comes, then you and I better decide we're going to live a godly, moral, spiritual life with Jesus Christ. It does not just happen. He said, "You put your sons above me." Now, not to belabor this, but I want to tell you, today is the Lord's day. I believe each one of you are where God wants you to be right now. All over America today, there were kids playing baseball and soccer and softball, and they were in athletic events all over the country today. If they are not doing it, they're getting real close to saying, "You know what, son? You know what, son? This baseball team that you're on is more important to me and to you than my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ." I think it's sin. I don't think anything comes before the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you begin to honor your own children, and there, I can give you a lot of other examples. People go to Cedar Point. They go to Cedar Point before they go to the house of God. They go to movies. They go to whatever. Putting your children before the Lord Jesus Christ is a formula to losing your children. When your children realize that their events, their life comes before the Lord Jesus Christ, you are playing with the principle of losing your own children. What did the sons of Eli think? Well, they had no respect for the Lord. They had no respect for the office of the priest. What position does that leave God in? Well, God is in the position where the only thing he can do now is judge. What do you want me to do with your sons, Eli? They're living in immorality. They're disrespecting the house of God. They're stealing from the house of God. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? And God says, "I'll judge them. I'll judge them." Verse 30, "Wherefore the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy fathers should walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, be it far from me. For them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." Do you want the best for your kids? You want the best for your kids? Then you want to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. You want your kids to, you put your kids before Jesus Christ, then Christ will be disrespected. And Christ won't be impressed with your children. I think it's so easy and so easy to understand. "Behold, the days come," he's talking to Eli now, the prophet says, "Behold, the days come that I will cut off thine arm and the arm of thy father's house, that there shall not be an old man in thine house." Eli, I'm going to cut you off from the priesthood. Now, historically, this happens in churches. You have someone gets saved, and someone else in the family gets saved, someone else gets saved, and they start a church. Sometimes out of the churches come denominations, and they go for years and years and years, and the church grows, and becomes bigger and bigger, and they build a church, they build a building, and that maybe sometimes a denomination comes out of it. And then somewhere along the line, mom and dad don't win their children. And in two or three generations, you go from an on-fire Christian person that's sold out to Christ because they honor their own kids before the Lord. They drop down a little bit spiritually. They drop down a little bit more spiritually. And two, three, four generations down the line, kids aren't saved. You know what? A lot of times they're in church because mom and dad built that church. Grandma and grandpa built that church. Grandma and grandpa, great-grandfather, he was the pastor. He was a deacon. And they love that church and the history and that type of thing, but their kids, grandchildren, great-grandchildren never get that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So in America, what do you have today? All over America, you have churches that have been built, filled with people who have no excitement about Jesus Christ at all. None. They're not excited about it. Why aren't they excited? Because two, three, four, five generations ago, they began to lose that excitement. And the church becomes a building and a people, most of which, many of which, are just unsaved people. And if you go to a church like that, maybe you'll find some 70 and 80-year-old people that are saved. And they've been so faithful and so loyal, they stay there. They stay, I'll stay at this church because this is where my grandfather was. This is where my father was. And this is where I got saved. But the message is deadened. The message is watered down. People aren't getting saved. And gradually the church dies. So what is it? When I was in New York City, hundreds of churches, beautiful facilities with 10, 12, 14, 20 people in them. You say, where are all the people? Well, the church has died. And just some of the very most loyal, most faithful people are still there and worshiping. And maybe some of them are saved, but they didn't win their kids. They didn't win their grandkids to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 35. It says, "And I will raise me up a faithful priest that shall do according to that which is in mine heart." Now, he already said, Eli, you're done in the priesthood. You're done. "But I will raise up another priest." And he said, "I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before mine anointed forever." God is saying, I'm going to raise up another high priest. Immediately speaking, it was the priest Zadok. But ultimately, he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to raise up Christ to be the high priest. I'll close with this. I guess I would just say, I beg you, with your own children, be prepared and willing to discipline your kids, and do not expect your kids to go beyond where you are spiritually. If there's no excitement, there's no faithfulness, don't expect your kids to be all excited about Christ. If it's more important for you to be at a ball game, expect your son to think more about that ball game than the Lord Jesus Christ. It'll happen. You will reap this. I promise you. Do not honor your kids above the Lord Jesus Christ.